Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG, whenever the hell we feel like it. Nick and Weiss here with you. Ethan in the air, if I remember his text message correctly. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast. Follow me on Twitter at Nick Cerraros. Follow Weiss, NYG Daily. Follow Ethan, Ethan GSN. Follow the blog, Gotham SN. How we doing, Weiss?
Good, good, good. An eventful couple of days. Really feels like football just slapped us right in the face and told us to wake up, right?
That's what they always do. Goodell's always lurking. Goodell's always lurking.
Stop paying attention to other sports and remember us. We're back.
They turn a schedule release into a primetime television event it's when there are playoff games on.
It's like a fucking sporting event. It's like a separate sporting event.
There are literally NHL and NBA playoff games going on, and ESPN's lead-in at 7 o'clock is we're talking about the schedule for a game that's not going to be played till week 12. Like, yeah, I'm excited for Eagles-Ravens too, but there are playoff games going on right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I was locked into the NBA playoffs, and I'm like, oh, shit, the NFL schedule release. But it was an eventful week for the Giants too. In case you didn't know, it is their 100th season, by the way. 100 years strong. It's nice what they're doing. I think they're not just like, it's not just like a, hey, it's our 100th season, here's a patch. No, it seems like they're going to be doing a lot of stuff, but we'll get into everything, Hard Knocks, the throwbacks, but let's go into the schedule. And let's go right into their week one opponent, the Minnesota Vikings at home. They open up. I'm pretty sure the Giants won in a primetime game. If you remember, Nick, when the Bears had their 100th season, they kicked the Super Bowl champion. I forgot who it was. I think it was the Patriots, right? Yeah, it was the Patriots. They kicked the Patriots off and played Bears Packers on Thursday night. Giants weren't that lucky this year. They get a home game week one against the Vikings. I thought it would have been cool if it was the Colts, right? Colts, Giants, right?
Yeah.
Greatest game ever played. But just overall, what's your thoughts? I'm like, okay, this is a they got the international game, got a couple primetime games, nothing really surprising. Thanksgiving again. But what are your thoughts going into this thing?
Number one, I'm very happy they're not opening on Sunday Night Football against Dallas. I feel every Giant fan has had that happen to them way too many times in their life where we've opened the season up against Dallas and the first drive, immediately you have to look back at, you look over at the TV and it's just instantly.
There's still PTSD from last year. You can go ahead and say it.
Oh, it's more than just that. I still think about the one Sunday Night Football game that opened where the first play of the season, Eric Flowers just didn't get out of his stance and DeMarcus Lawrence went around him and drove Eli into the carpet. I mean, opening up against Dallas is rough. There are a lot of winnable games on the schedule. That's the one thing I will say. A lot of these games, and Ethan had said this in the group chat, there's a lot of games where the quarterback play will be questionable enough that the Giants will be able to hang around. And in theory, the Giants are going to be a defense first team. They're going to ask their offense not to lose them the game. And if their defense is actively good, you should be able to beat Washington both times. Minnesota is winnable. Seattle is winnable. Pittsburgh is winnable. Carolina is winnable. Indy, Tampa, Atlanta, New Orleans, those are all winnable. Will they win those games? Probably not all of those, just based on the way football is, but they will be able to be in a lot of these games. And that's a little more encouraging. I think the other thing that I always talk about, and this is something I'm a big believer in, is just the one score games go the other way every other year. The Giants got really lucky 2 years ago in a lot of close games where teams absolutely melted down against them and gave them games. The Packer game, the Raven game. Last year went the other way. They lost a lot of close games by a field goal, a touchdown, some to good teams. So in theory, you play a little bit of an easier schedule because you finished in third place as opposed to second place like they did 2 years ago. In theory, your defense should be able to take advantage of subpar quarterback play, which you are going to get a healthy dosage of based on this schedule. And then number three, if the one score games go the other way, okay. In theory, I see seven wins-ish, and then, you know, it can go two wins in either direction to based on how some of these close games go. I could see them with as many as nine. I could see them with as few as five. I think anything less than five, unmitigated disaster. anything more than 9, that's a pleasant surprise. 7 and 9 is the sweet spot with this schedule.
Yeah, I think right off the bat, it's almost like the NFL was reading Giants Twitter for the last, you know, 4 or 5 months, ever since the season ended. And, you know, they scheduled the Vikings, who drafted a quarterback that a lot of Giants fans wanted to draft. So I think that's going to be fun. We'll see if he's the starting quarterback week one. I'm not sure what Minnesota's plan is. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, to me, I look at their back end of their schedule and it gets tough, sort of like post-bye, where you got Tampa, playoff team, Dallas, Thanksgiving, playoff team, Baltimore, AFC Championship game, playoff team. And then, you know, Atlanta, who's going to be better, I think, with Kirk Cousins. And then obviously Philadelphia to close on the road. The Giants, they just don't win in Philadelphia anymore. So, but before the bye, the interesting thing, I think, is they go the 3 games before the bye is Pittsburgh, Washington, Carolina, right? Like, those are the 3 games. Like, if you're somebody that's looking at the Giants schedule and trying to make your early predictions, from week 8 to 10 is where you're probably like, if there is a winning streak, it's probably going to be there, right? Because Pittsburgh, obviously we know Russell Wilson, that situation, Monday Night Football game on the road. But then Washington and Carolina, like, if there's going to be 2 out of 3, it's going to be right there. Like, I sort of look at these mini winning streaks. Like, where can you find a mini winning streak? Right off the bat, I mean, I could see them starting like 2-1, getting Minnesota, Washington, and losing at Cleveland. But then after that, right, you're looking at Dallas, Seattle, Cincy, Philly. Like, those are, you know, three of those four tough games. Yeah, 3 of those 4 teams are, you know, teams that wouldn't shock me if they're playing in the conference championship game. And then the 4th being Seattle on the road, tough place to play, right? So that could, where they could lose some of those games. And then right after, right, like I just said, right before the bye week, Pittsburgh, Washington, Carolina is where sort of they get right back to 500. And then we'll see where they are post-bye, right? Like, when we talk about 7 wins to 9 wins, like, well, where are they for the bye? And then we'll revisit our prediction of like 6 wins, 7 wins, 8 wins, whatever. But I think really there are difficult parts of the schedule, and there's some sweet spots in there too. But ultimately, like, I'm with you, like, it's 7, 8 wins. I love the fact that their bye is in like week 11, because it's like you get 10 weeks of Giants football, take a break, and then we finish strong. I sort of hate the early buys. And I know players hate that too, but the primetime games, they start week 4 at home against the Cowboys. I think this is the first time the Cowboys and Giants will be playing a Thursday night football game. Obviously, that's not Thanksgiving, since the Thursday night football stuff started. So it's interesting that they usually that game is either a Sunday night game or a 425 Fox game in like November, right? October, November. But that's a Thursday night game. The real fun one for me, the sort of what I call the measuring stick game, is week 6 against the Bengals. Like, hypothetically speaking, let's say the Giants start 2-1. And then let's say they get one of those Dallas or Seattle games, right? And they get to 3-2 by week 6, right? And that the emotions on that Sunday night of like, hey, 6 weeks done. You know, we got a couple division games under our belt. We're 3-2. You know, everyone says there's a big difference between 4-2 and 3-3. I think for me, that would be the measuring stick game. If they somehow get to like 3-2 by week 6 and they go into that Sunday night game against the Bengals at home, which will be great because the storylines, you know, the LSU receivers and whatnot. But I sort of, when the schedule comes out, I sort of look at, okay, the storylines, and then people play these hypotheticals of like how the season will turn out. I like to go like every like 2 weeks, like every 3 weeks, like, okay, where are we by week 4? Okay, where are we going to be by week 6? Where can we have like these mini winning streaks? So, I mean, like, if you were to ask me before the schedule came out, how many primetime games are they going to get? Or let's say standalone games. I probably would have said they get a Sunday night game, they get a Monday night game, they get a Thursday night game. And then maybe they sprinkle in another Sunday night football game. Because last year they had 2 Monday night games. So maybe they have two Monday night games, but standalone, Thursday night football, Sunday night football, Monday night football, a Germany game, and a Thanksgiving. I think that has a lot to do with the fact that they are their 100-year anniversary.
And they're the Giants, frankly. This Giants team, based on like performance, does not deserve all of these standalone window games. But because they're the Giants, because they have a foothold, because they have a large fan base, right, they'll get taken care of. Right. Results-wise, they don't deserve nearly as much attention as they get, but no, the Giants are the Giants. So you get the Germany game. That'll be interesting. There's a lot of opportunities here. That's what I'll say as far as the Giants this year. I'm going in a lot more reserved than I was last year, where I kind of was swinging my dick around talking about let's win the division, let's win 12 or 13 games. Wow. Now I'm taking a deep breath. I'm taking a step back, and they will be in a lot of these games. If their defense is as good as it looks on paper, and I know there are questions in the secondary, but if the pass rush is as good as it looks, if the offense can be respectable, it doesn't even need to be good. If they have a top 10, 12 defense and a respectable offense, that's enough to keep them in enough games. And in theory, if you believe in Dable, which I still do, and he makes the right decisions in those close games, you're going to have an opportunity. You know, 2 years ago, we talked about how the Giants had such an advantage at coach every single week because Dable was really being aggressive and putting a lot on the guys to go out there and win the games. And then last year, it was a lot of, all right, let's live for the next series. Let's play this conservatively. I know my offense is probably going to hurt me if I ask them to do too much. This year, we need the middle ground of that. We need him to have a little bit more situational aggressiveness, and you combine that with an improved defense and in theory an improved offense. I mean, the offense can't really be worse than it
not in theory. This has to be an improved offense.
I mean, it can't be. I mean, if it is, everybody gets fired. If this offense is like bottom five again. Like,
I know the quarterback situation, but they got
a lot better on their offensive line, I think, yes, compared to last year
for sure.
And then obviously adding some explosive players, like, they should be a lot better. Like, they lost Saquon Barkley, but I still think their running game should be better because I think Devin Singletary is a good back, and their offensive line got, in my opinion, compared to like last year with what they were trotting out there with all the injuries. And obviously this is if they stay healthy, like, it should be a much improved offensive line, much improved.
And that will make the running game better.
If they get just like game managing level quarterback play, it should be a better offense. Like, I don't think that's a lot to ask, right? A game managing level quarterback.
Yeah, that's all you need.
Don't turn the ball over. Make easy throws.
And in theory, because you have a real number one receiver now, you should be able to do more than just the dink and dunk underneath stuff that got them killed 2 years ago. In theory, Neighbors is going to command enough respect that your tight end should have a little bit more room over the middle because the safety is going to have to cheat over to that side. In theory, you should be able to run the ball a little bit more effectively, which should make defenses have to make that concession of, okay, the Giants are running the ball reasonably well. Do we want the nickel corner out there, or do we want a third linebacker out there? That's the trade-off you have to make. If the Giants can run the ball well, which they brought in two blocking tight ends, they have Bellinger, they drafted Theo Johnson, okay, you want to run a lot of 12 and 22 with two backs, two tight ends, load up the box, and then say, all right, Neighbors and Hyatt are only two receivers on the field. Okay, I feel okay about that with the way the offensive line should, in theory, shake out in terms of just having more depth and quality depth that Jones won't get killed every time he drops back. Okay, then I can talk myself into this offense being middle of the pack. That's where I'm at. I believe in Dable. I think Neighbors is good enough that he can make an instant impact. Year two of Hyatt, I've been high on Bellinger. I like Theo Johnson. You add all of that up, I can talk myself into the 18th or 19th best offense in the NFL with a top 12 defense and good coaching. That should be enough to keep you in a lot of games.
Yeah, I think one of the other things about their schedule that sort of plays into their favor is right off the bat, potentially two rookie quarterbacks. So we'll talk about,
or Sam Darnold, a world beater.
Right. And then week three, Cleveland. I mean, their defense is going to be out of this world.
Watson stinks.
We don't even know what Deshaun Watson is going to be post
rotator cuff.
Yeah. And then even when he was healthy, he wasn't playing really well.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't shock me if out of 3 weeks, they're 2-1. I mean, 3-0, awesome. I'm like, I can see it. Like, I can see them winning at home, then beating Washington. They always beat Washington. And then sneaking a win at it, you know, in Cleveland. I would not be surprised. I wouldn't bet on it, but like, if you were to tell me, you know, right now, hey, by September 26th, your Thursday night game, you're 3-0. What are the chances of that? I would say I would give it a, I don't know, 35%, 40% chance. Like, it's not 50-50, but
it's plausible. It's not insane.
They're not playing like playoff caliber teams. They're playing teams that are sort of where they are, you know, in terms of like roster building and talent wise. But yeah, I sort of think offensively they have to be a lot. That's to me what this season is all about. Like, we're talking about player development, but like, okay, year one, Dable, not a lot of his players, but and their offense wasn't good, but they were doing enough to win games. It's like, okay, last year everything just sort of fell apart with the quarterback and the injuries on the offensive line. This year, it's like, hey, I get the quarterback situation is not good, and there's a lot of questions about that. But I think, like I sort of said this earlier, it's like, give me game manager level quarterback play. Not a game manager, but a game manager level quarterback play where it's like, he's not winning you games. Like, the quarterback, whoever it is not winning you games, but at the same time, he's not losing you games. You know what I mean? So it's like, just run the offense. Like you said, somewhere between 16 and 19 is where your offense ranks. You're able to score points. I mean, we see it every week in the NFL where teams score points where it's like their offense is not good. They don't have a good quarterback. They don't have those skill players. Questionable.
You can manufacture passable offense. Easily. The Giants did it 2 years ago. They manufactured just enough offense that they were able to hang around. And they won the coin flips. That's the recipe for a team when you don't have a great quarterback. Even teams that are great around a mediocre quarterback, that's what they do. You look at the 49ers with Garoppolo, the Rams with Goff, the Saints with Carr or late career Breeze, the Panthers, what they did at the end between Newton and where they are now, what Tampa Bay did with Mayfield, easing him into that offense till he got comfortable as the year went along. You can manufacture offense with good scheme and using your personnel to your advantages. The Giants have real personnel depth now. They've had three off seasons. They have overhauled a good chunk of the skill positions. These are guys Dable and Shane think fit for what they want to do. Now, if the offense, again, like we've been saying, if the offense is bad, then it's time to have a frank conversation. And I don't even need them. When I say bad, I mean bottom five. If they are 25th through 32nd, I know that's seven, but if they're in that group of offenses, then we have to have a real conversation because there's enough talent, skill positions wise, and the offensive line can't be any worse. So you add that together. Okay, passable everywhere. If you are passable, okay, can we win with our defense? Can we win on special teams? If Graham Gano is healthy, I like our special teams units. You add that to the defense and decent coaching. Okay, that's a reasonable recipe to be competitive. And that's the one last thing I wanted to say. If the Giants only win six games, but, you know, they hang around with Dallas and Philadelphia and they don't get smoked in those games like they have in the last couple of seasons, they hang around with Cincinnati, they hang around with Baltimore, that's something I would feel better about because the Giants have had too many games over the last handful of years where they've just gotten absolutely smoked, where the game wasn't competitive.
Last year in Dallas.
Where it was not competitive by the end of the first quarter, the game was over.
Yeah,
I'm not saying you can't get blown out once, but the Giants have had too many games the last couple of years where it was just not competitive after the first quarter. And you can't have that if you're trying to build something meaningful here. Good teams don't get embarrassed like that.
Yeah, I'm right with you. Especially, but my thing is like, I feel like the expectation has to be a little bit higher because their defense should be improved, right? Like to me, when they've spent big money on an alpha pass rusher, right? You better be an alpha pass rusher. You're paying him $30 million a year. You have your numbers. What was the fifth pick? The fifth pick in, was he a fifth pick or a sixth pick?
Neighbors was six.
No. I'm talking about Thibodeau.
Thibodeau was five, and then Neal was seven. Right. And Carolina was six.
You have your fifth pick edge rusher who we like, good player, but we want to see greatness out of him. We want him to be a great player. Obviously, we know Dexter Lawrence is. Like, your defensive line should be able to, like I always say, your quarterback, it's
your quarterback, your offensive line, your pass rush. Your quarterback makes plays. It's how your quarterback plays. It's how your offensive line blocks for your quarterback. It's how your defense gets to the opposing quarterbacks. Those three things impact games the most out of anything else. Obviously, we've talked about the quarterback situation, but offensive line play should be a lot better. They spent money there. They've also made some investments there. They've replaced the offensive line coach. Like, is it a lot to ask at this point for Evan Neal to get marginally better? Like, okay, number one, stay healthy. Number two, like, can you actually look like an NFL offensive tackle? Like, we'll take that early in the season and then we'll go from there. And then defensively, like, their defensive line has to be one of the better units in the NFL. And not just their defensive line, like their linebacker play with Bobby Okereke and Micah McFadden, like they were good last year. So like, is there another level there? So at that point, you're looking at their front seven, right? And you're like, okay, that has to be sort of the strength of the team because of all the investments that were made there. You have one of the highest paid linebackers in Bobby O. We talked about their defensive line. So like, yeah, I think while player development is huge, it's also going to be important for some of these guys that we think are good, that they made heavy investments in, to now be the strength of the team, where it's like you're not just getting better, but now you're at that point where you're impacting games. And because of the positions they play, like I said, offensive line, defensive line, those spots should be the ones that are impacting games the most. Because like, look around the league, right? Look at last year, look at in the playoffs.
Obviously, it's the quarterback play, but if you can block for your quarterback and your defensive line can get to the other team's quarterback, that's how you win football games in the NFL. That's how all the elite teams win. Obviously, quarterback play is important, but two of those three things the Giants have made investments in, and those should be the strengths of your team to where you're at the point where you're winning games because of them.
Completely agreed with you. I am very, this will be the test of Dable's ability as a coach, because a lot of their success as an offense is going to come down to how he can scheme this up. I like a lot of the personnel. I like the ideas you could potentially do with this offense, but you are limited at quarterback, which means you have to find a way to manufacture offense. And we see backup tier quarterbacks put things together for long enough to make things work. And as for the defense, which you had just brought up, there are enough guys on that defense who are capable of making splash plays to really impact the game between Okereke, between Burns, Dexter Lawrence. There are enough flash players on that defense that they should get a little more turnover luck, which, again, another thing you can put into the category of why they should be better than last year. And ultimately, this is a fool's errand. It's May. We still don't know who's on everyone's rosters.
Right.
We don't know what injuries are going to look like. We don't know how teams are going to perform. We don't know who's going to overachieve, who's going to underachieve. Based on what we understand about this Giants team, they should be firmly average. Can they be a little bit better? Yes. Could they be worse? Yes. Ultimately, it will be upon the guys on the team to play a little bit better than we expect them to, and maybe they hang around. Maybe they're the 9-win third wild card team. Or maybe they're worse than we expect and they win 5 games and they're picking 9th again. It's really hard to get a read on a team like the Giants because they have a really wide range of potential outcomes because they have a lot of questions.
I don't see playoffs, but I can see and it's crazy because the ceiling and the floor is so close. Like, I think their ceiling to me this year is 8 wins, and their floor, which I think at the bare minimum, I think they'll win at least 6 games. So, because even last year when everything fell apart, they still won 6 games, right? So, and it wasn't, they beat
They won games with fucking a fourth-string practice squad tier quarterback. Right. You know, a guy who had no business making NFL starts. They won multiple games with a guy who had no business playing in the NFL.
So they're over under a 6.5.
Okay, I think so that's a perfect number.
That's a great number. I wouldn't bet right now on that, but I think it's awesome.
But let's go week by week, okay?
Okay.
We'll wrap up our little schedule segment there. Week one at Minnesota. Nick, do you give them a win or a loss?
I think they can beat Minnesota. I'll say win.
All right. So we both got them at 1-0. Week two at Washington.
They beat Washington.
I'm in agreement with you there. So we're both 2-0. Week three at Cleveland.
Cleveland wins.
Yeah, I think Cleveland wins too. That defense is just too good. So we're both at 2-1. Week four, Thursday night at home, Dallas Cowboys. I think they've lost to the Cowboys now. Oh, my God.
I think it's five straight. It's five or six.
I think it's more than that.
No, because they beat Andy Dalton in the Fugazi season.
Which year was that? Was that?
That was 20. That was toward 2020, I think.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So, yeah, shit. They haven't beat Dak Prescott since his rookie year.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Well, do they snap that streak on Thursday night?
No.
No. I don't think so either. So we got them at 2-2, week five, 4 o'clock game. First 4 o'clock game of the season in Seattle against the Seahawks.
Seattle, I don't have a great feel for yet because I want to see what Mike McDaniel does as a coach, because defense first head coach, what he does as an offense. So I don't have a great feel for them. I could see Seattle going either way. I think they have a really talented roster, but unproven coach, unproven coordinators. I could see the Giants winning that game, but going across the country, that offense is really talented. I think Seattle wins, but that's a game the Giants can win. That's in the maybe category, I would say.
Yeah, I think that's a toss-up, but I think everything you said is accurate. So we both got them now at 2-4 going into 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No, we both got them at 2-3. I'm sorry.
2-3 going into
week six, Sunday night, another primetime game hosting the Cincinnati Bengals.
Cincinnati is one of the five best teams in the league. I think Cincinnati very well could win the Super Bowl. They're on a different tier from the Giants.
Yeah, everything you said is right. I think Joe Burrow is just that's one of the quarterbacks that will just expose the Giants secondary, which I think will be the weakness.
And they improved their offensive line. They brought in Burton to be their new number three.
BJ Hill revenge game.
Amongst others, speaking of revenge games, the one after the Bengals.
Yes.
The Eagles are going to give Saquon like 40 carries in that game. He's only going to have like 75 yards, but touches, I imagine he's going to have three to four touchdowns. They are going to force feed him the ball a disgusting amount down on the goal line to let him try and rub it in, because that's the type of coach Sirianni is. And Saquon genuinely cares. Like, Saquon is still kind of mad that people are mad that he left. So I imagine they will do everything in their power to let him stat pad. I think the Eagles win that game.
Saquon's the type of guy that will rush for 150 yards against the Giants in the Meadowlands with an Eagles jersey on, and then complain in the postgame that why did Giants fans boo him when you score those touchdowns?
Like when he was at the Knick game and people were like,
Sixer game.
Exactly. Sixer game. Yeah.
It was like, why? So congrats to Saquon and the Eagles. They get another win over the Giants. That's what was that? 2-5?
Yeah.
2-5. Week eight, Pittsburgh, Monday Night Football.
I think they can beat Pittsburgh.
I think they beat Pittsburgh too.
I'm very skeptical of that offense, and whether it's Russ, whether it's Fields, neither of those guys particularly scares me. They're both game manager tier at this point.
Pittsburgh didn't fix their receiving situation.
No. Their offensive line should be better because they drafted three linemen, but still improving guys.
I don't think Russ is magically going to find Seattle Russ in Pittsburgh. No. I think their defense is good, but I also think their defense is getting a lot older.
Yes. Hayward still hasn't signed.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to go with the win here for the Giants.
Yeah, me too.
I think at this point there's going to be a lot of chatter about job security, and I think they can get one of those. Wait, the Giants won that game? So, 3-5. And I don't know about you, but we'll do 9 and 10 together. I actually think they get to the bye week on a 3-game winning streak.
Yeah, and Carolina.
That will put them at 5-5. Yeah, I think they beat Washington at home, sweep them again, and then they go to Germany and they beat Carolina, get to 5-5 at the bye week. And all of a sudden we go from, and again, I'm playing like these
hypotheticals. Like,
yeah. Yes. 5-5 at the bye week. All of a sudden the Giants are showing up in the hunt on that Fox graphic. Come out of the bye week 12. Home against Tampa. You ready for this, Nick? I think they win that game too.
I think they can beat Tampa. Tampa is going to be one of the, I think Tampa probably regresses. Baker had a great year last year. They lose their offensive coordinator, who's the head coach in Carolina now. Everybody's a year older. It's not a bad roster, but it's getting older, and sure, they had a lot go right for them last year. I think Tampa Bay, similar tier to the Giants, where they'll be okay, and I think if things break their way, they'll sneak into the playoffs, but I don't think Tampa Bay is as good as they were last year. They kind of had a lot of things break right for them.
Yeah, I do think they win that game. Week 13, 6-5 Giants, or 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Yeah, 6-5 Giants, week 13 going to Thanksgiving. And as much as it kills me, I just don't think that they can beat this team, man. I don't think they're good enough to beat Dallas, even though Dallas has a lot of problems. Loss here puts them at 6-6. Week 14, home against New Orleans. I actually have New Orleans as one of my sleeper teams this year. I think they're going to be better offensively. I think their O-line is improved. I think their defense is still going to be good. There's always a game on your schedule where you look at and you're like, that's a win. Like, yes, we're going to win that game. But then we actually get to that. And it's usually a later season game. But then when we actually get to it, our mindset is completely different about that team. So I think this is the game that they lose. And I think they lose New Orleans. They lose Baltimore. They lose at Atlanta. This is where it all sort of, the wheels start to fall off.
It's a tough stretch. Those are difficult games. New Orleans defense will be decent. Whether it's Carr or Rattler, I don't think it matters a whole lot. Baltimore is genuinely a great team. Atlanta's offense is good enough that it should probably give the Giants a hard time, but that's an opposite on an opposite game where the Atlanta defense is bad, so the Giants should be able to do a little bit more offensively than they typically would, but at the same time, Atlanta's offense should be pretty good, even though the Giants defense should be pretty good.
Who knows the Giants quarterback situation by then? And then the final two, I think they get the Colts, and then I don't know, who knows what the Eagles are playing for by that time. We've seen them win, we've seen them lose. That final
depends if Richardson can stay healthy. Their schedule is based on the idea that Anthony Richardson's going to be a guy. They have a lot of standalone window games. I think they'll be good.
They got a good roster. Here's what I'll say. On the Giants' schedule, they have three teams that I think will regress, who made the playoffs last year: Tampa, Cleveland, Pittsburgh. But then they have three teams that I think are going to ascend, not including Cincinnati, because the Burrow injury, I think that, you know, that eliminates them from this type of conversation. But New Orleans, Atlanta, and Indianapolis. I think Indy got a lot better. Atlanta got a lot better with Cousins. And then New Orleans, I think, could be a sleeper team that sneaks into the playoffs. So they're playing early on three teams that are going to be descending. That latter part of the season, I think they're going to play three teams that are going to be fighting for playoff spot, the division. Two of them are going to be in the NFC South, and then one of them is that Colts team. So I have them at 7 wins, 7-10, winning Minnesota, Washington, Pittsburgh, Washington, Carolina, 5, and then Tampa and the Colts. So post bye, I have them going 2-6 to close out the season. Which
I think that's reasonable.
7-10 is where I have them. Like I said, maybe they get one more and they get to 8. I don't know. But right now I'm at that sweet spot of 7.
I can see it. I think that's a reasonable number. You said the over-under was 6.5. I think based on how we view this team, the schedule, That's perfectly reasonable. I don't think that's being doomer. I don't think that's being overly optimistic. I think that's right on the money. They're somewhere between seven and eight. I could see as many as nine, depending on how some games shake out, but they'll be competitive. And I know that's not much of a consolation, but you got to remember the Giants have been an atrocity to the sport of football for much of the last decade. So respectable and average is an improvement. You know, if they go from picking sixth overall to picking like 14th or 15th overall next year, that's a sign of progress. That's something to feel decent about.
Yeah, I'm sort of with you. I hate to say it, but they're sort of in like no man's land right now because of the quarterback situation. So
correct. I mean, that's why people were so hot 2-3 weeks ago when they didn't take your quarterback.
Still hot too. I still see people that are. We're not going to talk about that
anymore. No, it's a moot point. There's nothing else to be said. There is nothing else to be said. If Locke gets in, okay, let's see what he's got. If Jones starts,
Let me put you on the spot. Based on how you think the Giants season plays out, does Drew Locke play? And if he does, by when?
Drew Locke will definitely get at least one start this year, whether it's injuries or just to shake things up to see how things are going. I think Drew Locke definitely gets a start. And if I had to guess, based on their schedule, I want to say I could see it probably after the second Dallas game. I could see them getting getting smoked on Thanksgiving. Even though they're going to still be in the mix at that point based on where we had them, where they'd be like close to 500, they'd be in the hunt around Thanksgiving. I think you get smoked by Dallas and you go into New Orleans, Baltimore, Atlanta, and you say, all right, Drew, we've given Jones more than enough chances. We want to change things up. Don't get us killed out there. Keep us in the game and let's see what happens.
Yeah, it's crazy. I sort of had it as early as the week 4 game, mm-hmm. which is also against Dallas on Thursday night.
I could see that. If Jones is ineffective, or if he just looks like a different guy, like there's a world where he tries to play and he just looks atrocious, you know, like what Deshaun Watson looked like when he first came back, where he just looked like an uncompetitive football player because he just wasn't right physically. I could see a world where Jones tries to play by like, and there's also, you know, we're just assuming Jones is going to be ready to go by week 1. There is a chance he's not. So
exactly. That's another thing I consider. So again, I played the scenario in my head before the show. Like they start 2-0. But it's a 2-0 despite their quarterback.
Yes.
Again, it's just a scenario that I played on.
It happens.
They could start 2-0 and Jones plays great. But there's a scenario where it's like he's okay, not great, but we're 2-0. Shits the bed against Cleveland. Shits the bed on Thursday night against Dallas. Got the mini bye week. Get Drew Locke ready for week 5. Drew Locke revenge game against the Seattle Seahawks. That would be awesome. And then the one that I sort of looked at as the most likely scenario, shit the bed on Thanksgiving. At that point, another mini bye because you have 10 days before the New Orleans game. And at that point, you're like, we're just going to go to Drew Locke. And that would signal the end of Daniel Jones right there because you're like, we've lost 2 in a row coming out of the bye. We need to make a change.
They gotta. It sucks that yet another year is in a holding pattern, but until you resolve quarterback, the best you can hope for
this is a conversation that you have.
Yep.
This is the conversation
that until you solve it. Hard Knocks. I mean,
so let's talk about Hard Knocks.
I'm just curious how much they actually spill. I just want to know how honest they're going to be about some of the stuff in here. Cause like,
that's what I'm interested too, because I don't think HBO signs up for this. If it's some team doctor documentary. Like, I love sports documentaries. I watch a lot of freaking sports documentaries.
But a lot of them are fluff. A lot of them are fluff.
They are, but a lot of the ones that HBO has done have been, even Hard Knocks to an extent, except the last one, has been, like, they've gotten access to things that are controversial topics. So, like, I don't know. It is so like, I'll give you an example. Netflix did, for all the soccer people out there, Netflix did a Manchester City documentary.
I thought that was Amazon.
No. Amazon did one, but this was most recent.
Okay.
Amazon did one like 5 years ago or 6 years ago.
Gotcha.
This was done like this past year when Manchester City won the treble, which they won their Countries League. I hate to give a soccer lesson. They won the Premier League and they won, I think, FA Cup, and then they also won the Champions League. And they're like the first team in England since, like, I don't know, Manchester United did it years ago. I don't know. But anyways, it was a big year for them. Like, they were practically like the best. They were the best team in Europe. And there was this documentary that was done on them, which basically followed them around. It was a 4-part documentary, and it was doctored so much where it's like, it's basically Netflix bought the documentary from Manchester City, who had their own cameras when was following the team around. And it was terrible because they left out so much stuff. I'm not going to get into what they left out, but people that like Manchester City, they know what I'm talking about. And I stopped watching it after the second one. We talked about the Swamp Kings, the Florida documentary, which was basically like a Urban Meyer coronation documentary.
Yes.
Right? It's just horrible. But I think I am cautiously optimistic in this one, because I think you will see a lot more of the people behind the scenes, right? You might not see the controversial stuff with Wink and this, but you'll see conversations about, and you'll see how their decision-making came to be with a lot of stuff. Now, does that mean that we'll see the Giants draft board? No, but I think you'll get an idea of how the organization thinks, how it's run, who's making the decisions. We'll get a good idea of that. So I'm excited about this. I love this kind of stuff. I love this behind the scenes, you know, because I think sports is the reality of reality television.
Yes, and that's a good way to describe it.
It's the best drama.
That's the Spike Lee quote. Before Game 7 of the 2004 World Series, they were talking to him on the field before the Yankees were about to play the Red Sox, and they asked him, could you write a script better than this? And he says, no, because this is real. Sports are real. You can make up whatever you want in a movie. That's great. That's a movie. This is actually happening. This is going to happen.
I've watched a
good chunk of sports documentaries. I watched a documentary that followed Juventus soccer around that was in Italian.
You got the subtitles going, huh?
I did, on Amazon. Yes. I watched a documentary on a New Zealand rugby team. I mean, I've watched on the Toronto Maple Leafs Amazon.
That was good.
You saw that. That was good. I did like that. It really, my respect for hockey players went up given the what they go through every year. It's insane. I've watched it all. I mean, I've watched Last Dance like 5 times.
Last Dance is special television. I mean, that's Michael Jordan propaganda, but it's great.
It is. I was about to say they left out a lot of stuff, but the stuff that they included was amazing, right?
Yeah.
So I love this kind of stuff. I love the NFL's doing it. I love that the Giants are finally doing it, because I would love to see all that goes on. Hopefully it's not a watered down.
That's my big frustration with a lot of the teams I support, being in the New York market, being that these teams are older, they're legacy, they're very traditional, they're very buttoned up. They're not in, their content isn't as fun. Like, you know, you compare the Giants social media, the team accounts, to what like the Chargers do. Right. And these are two different planets. And I understand the Giants are never going to be like that because they're a legacy franchise. But I would love to get to know these people more. You know,
because they're going to lose
a new generation of fans if they don't. I think
you're probably right. You're probably right.
Because like content is 24/7 now.
Yes.
So it's like you have to have something to keep your fans engaged, especially when you're not winning games. So this is good. I like this. I like the fact that they're doing a Wellington Mara documentary. I think that's going to be good. I think it'll give a good. Go ahead.
I was going to say, we tapping in on the Jerry Jones propaganda.
I will. Yeah. Even though I know what it's going to be, I'm fully going to tap into that. It's on the Dallas Cowboys, right? But he's like the main.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I'm definitely going to tune into that. But I like this. I think this is what they should do. We live in a different world now when it comes to sports, but yeah, I'm all for this. I love what they're doing. I hope they continue to do it. I don't understand why teams don't do like their own form of
like what Deion does at Colorado. Yeah. where they have their own in-house version of it.
And then just release it on YouTube.
Like San Francisco does that. The 49ers do a really good version.
Or just sell it to like Netflix or you know, sell it to somebody. That's what everyone else is doing right now, right? Everyone's selling their content to other streaming services. Sell it to YouTube, sell it to Netflix, sell it to whatever. Yeah. I think that would be that. I think that it's just another source of income for these teams. I think it would be great, especially if you have a great year.
Yeah.
Like the Chiefs should have cameras following around everybody. I mean, could you imagine a camera crew following around their kicker?
All right, enough on that topic. How do you feel about the giant throwback jerseys?
Listen, they're throwback jerseys to like 1933.
Yes.
And I wasn't alive in 1933. I don't think you were alive in 1933 either. But I don't think there were like, you know, these designers sitting with teams designing jerseys. No. So if you're, you know, you're talking about 100 years, this I is think what they wore 100 years ago. So
I think if the pants were white instead of khaki, I would like it a lot more. But with the khaki pants, they just look like the Montreal Canadian jerseys from the 1930s that the Habs break out whenever there's an anniversary. They're silly. They're only wearing them twice. They're probably going to be lost to history very shortly after because not a lot of people seem to like them. But
and they're not going to buy those jerseys.
No, you're going to buy the 80s throwback. The 80s throwbacks are nice. Right. Both the
solid blue. I have like 3 80 throwback jerseys.
Yeah. Those are a lot better.
I mean, they got leaked.
Yeah.
By Antonio Brown, a couple months ago, which by the way, Antonio Brown's transition into the NFL insider world has been an absolute.
That's the funny thing about sports media now, whereas if you're a former player, you have as many connections as the insiders do. Yeah. All you got to do is text people you know in the league and exactly. You know, and it people seems like Antonio Brown, who are entirely unhinged and unstable, can do a reasonable job as a journalist because they know the right people. It's crazy.
Yeah, he's great.
And the crazy thing is, Antonio Brown is like not a stable person, but the people in the league will trust him more because he played the game than a journalist who's like, you know, credentialed and trying to talk to them professionally through a lane. Right. Antonio Brown will get better answers on a podcast he hosts than anybody on any beat walking into a locker room because guys played and know how good Antonio Brown was. So, all right, he's got my respect. Whereas they see beat reporter X with a dress shirt they got at Banana Republic tucked into khakis and they're like, look at this fucking nerd. Why does this guy care what I have to say?
I think the only person that would believe that
the Giants would actually wear these hideous jerseys is probably Antonio Brown, right? Like, I don't think
like the Montreal Canadiens.
They look like shit, is what they look.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah, they're not great. They're not.
But I get it because listen, these are from like 100 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
This is what they were wearing 100 years ago. They were wearing, you know, leather pants and a striped jersey. Like, I don't even know what. I'm not gonna get worked up off it. I think they look like shit. So
yes, very, you know, very shitty.
But again, these are a lot of throwback uniforms look like shit.
Yeah, so, the Steelers ones, the Packer ones.
Do you remember the Eagles? Eagles, those
the blue and yellow. Yeah,
they were disgusting. So yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I think the '80s ones are much nicer.
100%.
But if you start the further you go back with some of these NFL teams,
oh, horrendous!
The absolute dog shit their uniforms are. And the Giants, 100 years, you got to honor, you know.
You know how I would like them to celebrate 100 years? I hope they use the old logo. I hope they use the guy throwing the football on the red circle logo. That's something I would like to see them
do. That would be dope. Yeah, that would be dope. I ordered a like a mantle type thing with that logo for my office. That's a sick-ass logo. I love that logo.
That's a cool way you can honor your history. I definitely like that.
They sort of have it in the patch, too. He's like,
Yeah. I saw it on the Giants website earlier when I was pulling up their schedule to do the research. It's nice. Hey, we're not going to be the worst team in the league. We got that going for us. We're making progress. Very slow progress, but progress.
Yeah. 100 seasons, man. That's a long fucking time.
Yeah. And they've only been to the playoffs like 12 of the 100 times, but I digress.
Yeah. Let's touch a little bit more on the schedule, not related to the Giants.
Okay.
The NFL's goal of playing a game every single day.
It's coming.
It took a big step forward this year.
Yep.
I'm just looking at the schedule. So like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We got games
across the board. We got games in Brazil. You know, we got games in, you know, all over the world. It's pretty, Like, we are almost there, Nick. We are almost there to watching football every single day. It's coming. I'm 100% certain it's coming.
And the crazy thing is, you know, we're like 10 years removed from people like genuinely saying Goodell was the worst commissioner in sports and needed to be gotten rid of because of the way he was in
sports.
He's all right. He's undoubtedly an unethical and bad person, but he's undoubtedly the most efficient commissioner of any of the major sports leagues.
You have to be that when you're working for the owners.
Correct.
I will say I am shocked that Adam Silver has got so many networks to their knees with the NBA TV deal.
Because that's the only thing that gets ratings anymore is live sports. If you don't have a package, your network is screwed.
Dude, they're going to get 2/3 of what the NFL got when they do not get 2/3 of the viewership.
No. But like, that's eye popping to me. But yeah, I mean, we got games Thursday. We got games Friday now. I love the Black Friday game.
Hey, bro, absolutely. The Tim Boyle 100-yard pick six, the Hail Mary pick six will live forever.
So when you look at week 17, yeah, this is my favorite week. So there's going to be games Wednesday, Christmas, Netflix, right? There's going to be a game on Thursday on Prime Video. So make sure you guys pay your subscriptions on time. Then they're going to put games on Saturday. And there's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 6 games. I think maybe 3 of them will become on Saturday. The Giants and Colts are one of those options. So you're going to have games Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
You know what I enjoy? I was going to say, I've more than once last season, I went out on a Thursday night, like to dinner, to a bar, whatever, after dinner. And they just were illegally streaming Thursday Night Football from like one of the sites with all the pop-ups on it because bars aren't paying to stream Amazon Prime. And same thing with the Peacock exclusive games. Like, I get it why the NFL is doing this because they can and no one's stopping them. And nobody's ever going to rebel because we're sickos and we need our football. But God, does it suck watching this happen in slow motion? It sucks watching this happen in slow motion.
Do you know what's even more diabolical by the NFL?
What is?
Obviously, the NBA is known for Christmas Day, right?
Yeah, they stole the NBA's block.
Not only did they steal it, Nick, they put the Christmas Day games on Netflix.
Yeah.
You cannot flip between Netflix and what the Christmas games are on NBC, right? If it's on regular cable, you just flip between games. But when you have like Netflix and then it's like, hey, you can't change the channel, right? Because you got to log on network, go like, you know, switch your HDMIs around. So it is diabolical what the NFL is doing. As a fan, I love it. I think it's awesome. And I'm telling you, I remember saying this. Remember during COVID when they were playing games like all around?
The Ravens played the Steelers at 4:30 on a Wednesday.
Yeah, do you remember that game when RG3 started?
RG3, Trace McSorley against Duck Hodges, yeah.
I remember telling my brother who's a Ravens fan, I said, the NFL will play games throughout the week in the next 5 years.
100%.
I said, if there's one thing that COVID taught the NFL, it's that we can fucking play games any day of the week.
Yep.
Not have to worry about, you know, anything. And they're going to go to 18 games. And once they go to 18 games, they'll have more, you know, time to, you know, play with their scheduling. And I'm telling you, the NFL. Dude, if I told you 5 years ago we were playing games on Christmas, you would call me crazy.
Yeah, because that was only when it fell on a Sunday before most of my life, where they would
play even when it fell on a Sunday, they would play the majority of the games on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
And then on Sunday, they would just do like a standalone game or something.
Yeah.
But dude, I'm telling you, we are on the precipice of playing games every single day. Not every week, every single day, but there's going to be a week where the NFL says, hey, we're playing games Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
And do something about it.
Yeah, and there's nothing you're going to do about it.
Nope.
So this is an interesting time. Everything is changing, and the NFL is Netflix, Prime Video. Yeah. You know, it's crazy. It's a crazy time we're in. But more football is fun for us, I guess, right?
always. All right, let's get out of here because we're already over an hour and 10 minutes. Make sure you are subscribed wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you are following me at Nick Soraris, Ethan at Ethan GSN Weiss, at NYG Daily, the blog at Gotham SN. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. We'll be back at some point before training camp, more than likely. Talk to you guys soon.
Peace.